You're listening to episode 285 of Women Worldwide. According to the organization RAIN, in the United States, every 9 minutes, Child Protective Services substantiates a claim of sexual abuse. What can we do as we recognize this is prevalent in our society? I've got a guest today who has a lot to share on this topic, so stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Wherever you are in this world, thank you so much for showing up and for being here today. And I want to thank you for always sharing the shows and the advice of the amazing guests who come on Women Worldwide, and also for sharing how much you feel and what's going on. And I hope for Women Worldwide that your feelings are met with empathy and emotional intelligence. And that's what we so need today. Okay, let's get to today's topic and special guest. Now, 5 years of Women Worldwide, we have not hit on this subject. It is sexual assault. So I want to read a couple of statistics that I came across before the show. Did you know that in America, every 2 minutes, a woman is sexually assaulted? And I also learned, that one was from the Washington Coalition of Sexual Assault Programs. And I also learned from RAIN that every 9 minutes, Child Protective Services substantiate a claim of child sexual abuse. That's shocking. It's horrific. And how do we as a culture recognize that this is so prevalent in our society? What can we do? Well, joining me on the show today is my special guest. Her name is Patricia Eagle, and she is a survivor of sexual assault as a child. And she has published a book called Being Mean in June of 2019. And she's here with us to share her story and to also bring hope to other survivors and supporters. Patricia, thank you so much for being on my show. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here. One of the first things that I like to clarify after an introduction, my title, Being Mean, is confusing to people. And what I want people to know, so this is sort of abrupt, I'm just diving right into it. That's what my mother called masturbation. And that is what my father and I did together from my age 4 to 13. So being mean is the title that my publisher and I chose. And so I just needed to go right to that. And then I wanted to also stress after your statistics, when you mentioned how, you know, what can we do about this? And I just wanted to dive right in and say, well, you're doing it having a podcast for Women Worldwide. I love that title. I feel like I'm going, whoa, 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 Women Worldwide. And that is so necessary because the last line in my book says, silence hasn't made it stop, and ignoring it won't make it go away.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing about the title of your book, first off, and for what you said about Women Worldwide, and no, there can't be silence, and you're right, it doesn't go away. So I'm just wondering, you know, sharing your story, publishing a book about it, how did you even get to a place of being able to do this?
It was a long journey to get to it. I'm in my mid-60s, and I first began speaking about my memories in my late 30s. Wow. And in my late 50s, I started thinking, either I carry this around with me, which was really harming my mental health, I carry this around with me for the rest of my life, or I really open up and practice being truthful, which meant when I heard things or saw things or suspected things that I spoke up. But I knew I had to do the work myself. And so I began looking at what would be involved with that, which, you know, lucky for me, I liked writing as a journaler and an English teacher. So I did get a writing coach. And by the way, I've also had therapists since I was in my 20s. So for me, that was really necessary. I know I can't do this alone. I still receive therapy. I find great benefit in it. It's a lifelong journey of healing. And I knew to get to the place to write a book and to face my own memories and talk about them in podcasts or in other interviews I've done or articles, that I had to achieve a clarity and integrity. I had to really dive down into that well and see it, look at it, feel it to speak about it. And I keep practicing all of that, basically practicing honesty and transparency.
During your process, and it is a journey, a healing process. You know, you mentioned the therapy, which is such a big part of it. Were you able to seek that out yourself? Did you talk to anybody beforehand? Were there any family and friends that you went to? What was your first go-to?
Well, my first go-to is my mother, but she slapped me. She didn't believe me. That's when I was younger. You know, my first go-to was in my early 20s, and it was my principal. I taught at a Catholic school, and she's still my mentor, and her story and our relationship is in the book. Now, I am not a religious person. I'm a spiritual person, but I'm not Catholic either, but I sure value a lot of the services and values that many religions hold, but I'm closer to Catholicism because of Sister Antoinette. So seeking out mentors, I wasn't speaking about my memories yet, but I was speaking about my own inner turmoil. So finding strong people that you trust and that will listen, not necessarily give advice. I have many incredible friends. I found after many efforts and many therapists, I found a therapist in my 40s, and then unfortunately he died, and then I have a new therapist now that I found in my early 60s. Looking, and it takes effort to look around for people that can really help, just like not everyone is a friend that you'll confide in, or not every person is a spouse that you will choose. I also have an amazing spouse, and our story is also in my book. So it's learning to discern who to talk to, which took me a while, learning to have boundaries. Who do I trust? I mean, if you can imagine, most sexual assault and sexual abuse survivors have huge issues around trust because our trust has been violated. Right. I certainly trusted my father. I thought what we did, everybody did with their father, or many. So learning to who you're going to trust but looking for those people and not just thinking they're going to come to you.
Right.
But go out and cultivate those relationships, just like we do with a beloved, a spouse, or a good friends. The same with our teachers and our mentors and our therapists. I mean, I had as many therapists that I didn't find value with as I did. Well, I had more of those I didn't find value in my relationship than I did with those that I found incredible value with.
Right, knowing who to let in your inner circle, almost. So you don't just let anyone in, not any friend, not any love interest, not any therapist. There's a lot that I want to unpack based on what you said. When it comes to therapy and, you know, even mental health or taking medication, there's always this stigma around it. How do we move past this as a society as well? Do you have any thoughts there?
I have a lot of thoughts. I feel very strongly about it. The stigma we place on that and the shame that our culture places on that just breaks my heart. In fact, I'm just getting tears thinking about it, because don't we want people to get help? Why in the world do we shame people for taking medication, for getting therapy? And, you know, I think of many well-meaning people in my life who have wanted to give me advice, and I've often stopped them and said, have you received therapy yourself? And most of them are very proud and saying, well, no, I haven't. And then I'm like, I appreciate your efforts, but I feel like everybody should receive therapy. Yeah. I think everybody has issues, but I prefer to listen to people that value therapy than those that just think that they have advice by nature of being alive. And often those people, I see issues that they could work on too. And, you know, along those lines, I really encourage people with sexual assault and sexual abuse to not give advice to others. To, even if they get therapy, even if they've been sexually abused, to listen and ask, what can I do to help? But I've received some horrible advice, and I've come to just gently, I hope it's gentle, although I've been told at times it isn't, but I try to gently just tell people, now I'm going to go back to the therapy question, because I feel like that it's so important. People take medication for blood pressure and for migraines and for, you know, everything.
Yeah.
The brain's an organ. There are things that happen. There's no harm in taking medication, preferably under the supervision of someone that really understands mental illness and not just a general practitioner. I encourage people to actually get help alongside taking the medication. But medication has helped me tremendously. It is the reason I'm alive. I would not be alive. And even talking about suicide is such a shameful thing. But look how prevalent it is.
Yes.
And so I bring it up and I say, yes, I take medication. Yes, I've been suicidal. And, you know, let's help one another and not shame one another. Let's talk about these issues. There's so many issues, but today we're talking about sexual assault and sexual abuse. Let's be transparent about it in a way that we will help one another and not hinder somebody living fully.
That's right. So, Patricia, what can, you know, I mentioned and you said how prevalent this is as well. There are so many families out there and this is happening. Are there ways to be more aware or to, you know, in order to be truthful, like you said that you went and you shared with your mother who had a negative reaction and slapped you. For families who need to or want to have their eyes open for warning signs, what are they looking for? What can families do? What is a healthy way for them to help?
Well, it's tricky. It really is tricky because perpetrators are very careful. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, they're very secretive. So that would be one of the first things. Do you have a sense that someone's harboring a secret or secrets? You know, it's hard for us, and we see that so much these days. It's hard for us to practice honesty. It's hard for us to listen. So in a family, to teach practicing honesty and then to listen and to follow up when you hear something that might make you uncomfortable, that might, it's hard in a family. I mean, it's hard whether it's a coach or, we have so many examples. The judge, I mean, it just goes on and on. But within the family, it can feel like it's destroying the family structure that's been set up. And I understand why my mother, for example, chose my father over me. She felt helpless. But if you can get information, if you can follow your gut feelings that something's wrong, and often that's based on that you are aware that there are secrets being kept. If you look at your child, I was terribly underweight. If you look at your child and see something like that, or you notice even as a young child, I took risks that were unhealthy. I held my breath too long underwater. I rode my bike way out of bounds until it was past dark and somebody had to bring me home. You know, just if you see things like that, notice it. Don't just brush it off and think, gosh, he's ornery or he doesn't listen to me, you know, as a child. So watching, listening, following your gut feelings, educating yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, now we have online education. You've got RAIN, you've got Stop It Now. There's so many things in the back of my book.
It takes all of 2 seconds to find those stats that I mentioned.
Yeah.
So much out there.
So look, and then in your own, like in my, I live in a small community in South Central Colorado in the San Luis Valley, and we have tu casa, your house, mm-hmm. is what it means. And we have, now they have really expertly trained people to help discover things like that and to help a child speak, mm-hmm. while protecting the child, whereas that used to be more difficult. And by the way, school counselors, when I was growing up, were no help at all.
No.
So, or non-existent. I didn't even know what to do. I didn't know who to talk to.
So it is changing in school. Mm-hmm. I mean, through your work and what you see. Do you feel better in school systems today?
Yeah. Yeah. And may it continue. May we not cut back on that essential personnel. May we not cut back on those community social services that will help us have mental health as well as, you know, may we not cut back on what allows us to have physical health either, which mental health to me is part of the physical health.
Sure. They're combined.
Yeah. It's not separate.
They work together. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, this brain and this heart are connected to all of it.
Your heart is like another brain.
That's the emotional intelligence that you mentioned earlier.
Yes. There is something about, you know, what you said about listening before. I think a lot of us feel like we're listening. However, with so much going on, we our conversation, even before we started on this show, was talking about technology and how it's always pinging and dinging and distracting. And when that's happening, how can you be present? How can you be aware? How can you be open to your surroundings and able to detect what, you know, some of those signs that you said, whether it's a gut feeling or you notice something or there's some kind of hidden secret, mm-hmm. you have to be aware.
Deirdre, you have to practice listening to yourself. So back in one of your earlier questions, how did I prepare or get ready for this journey? That takes some practice, is listening, practicing listening to oneself. I became very good at shutting myself down and numbing and dissociating. And many assault and abuse survivors do that because you have to survive. It's just too painful. And also, we want to be normal. We want to be like everybody else that doesn't go around thinking, what's wrong with me? I masturbated with my father for all this time. And when I learned people didn't do that, I felt nasty and dirty and shameful. And people feel, you know, that we often are led to believe it was our fault. I certainly was. So to then turn it around and become comfortable with myself and to listen to myself, that the more I practice that, and when I'm not practicing it, I have, for example, a really hard time being able to hear my husband when we have an argument. I'm sitting there going, well, I do this, and I mean, this is what I'm saying. I'm thinking about how right I am. I'm not listening. So to keep it, for me, it's an ongoing practice with anyone of calming down, trying to hear what's within me allows me to then hear what's within somebody else. And we haven't encouraged that a whole lot in our human race. But more and more people are doing that.
Yeah.
Sure helps.
It sure does. This understanding of sort of, if you can get a hold of your own emotions and to listen carefully, you will have a lot better of an opportunity to manage, be empathetic and understanding for somebody else, whether it's your husband and you're having a disagreement, or, you know, I look out on social media,
Patricia. Child.
Yeah, a child, exactly. It could be a conversation that's playing out on Facebook or Twitter. It's wherever you are. But I think you keyed into something so important. It's this listening component to yourself. And I'm sure each and every one of us at some point tends to block that out for whatever reason and to, you know, do a whole bunch of stuff to feel like you're normal. When that is the opposite of what you should really be doing.
Yeah, that word empathy.
Yeah.
I believe to really experience empathy, you have to first do your own work, and then you can be available for others. It's sort of like, you know, that saying, you can't take care of others unless you take care of yourself.
Right.
Because you don't have the energy or the wherewithal to do that. You know, here's another thing, just to throw a little bit of lightness into it, but anybody listening that's a animal lover will appreciate it. Because dogs are really important to me. It's a big thing in my book. My first dog was my first experience of love that I felt. And so it's just gone on from there. But I had to learn how to, I always thought I was right. I was the master, I was the dog owner. But gradually, as I started just listening and watching my dogs, I started understanding them better to see what was going on. So, you know, it works across species.
Awesome. Well, as a dog lover and owner of, I'm a proud owner of two Beebles.
What?
They're Beebles. They're part beagle, part bulldog. They're absolutely adorable.
Not oh, that sounds dogies. Great.
They are just, I love them to death. And I could see how it goes across species. So thank you. Pat, thank you for all that you've shared. I can't even believe we're at that parting question where you can just give some advice to Women Worldwide listeners about whatever it is that they're doing or feeling, how they can move forward stronger with empathy, with hope.
Well, I'll be repetitive to practice listening to yourself and believing yourself, believing it. Courage, you know, comes from a French word, courage, which is the heart aging. So letting your heart speak up and looking at it, knowing it takes a while. Don't be afraid to ask for help, to look for mentors and teachers, and know that it's not going to be the first person. And think that they might be the people that listen the most and not be the ones that have the most advice to give. The people that encourage you to look deeply within yourself. Same with therapists. And if you can't afford a therapist, know that RAIN and Stop It Now, they have free lines that you can call and receive help. Take advantage of that. That's really, really a good thing. And then for me also, find something like for me, walking in nature, spending time in nature helps me. I walk my prayers. I used to meditate, and then I guess maybe my butt got too sore. I don't know, but it just didn't work. But I tell you what, I can walk those prayers, and if you can find a place where you can rant and cry, great. And if you can't, you can let people just think you're a crazy person, and who cares? Or you can just do it internally. But get out there and move through, literally move through some of the experience, and you can hear it from me. It is worth it. I'm so glad I'm alive. I'm so glad. And it's worth it because we can help each other. 1 in 4 children are sexually abused. So, and then the assault statistics you gave earlier, 1 in 9, it's important. Let's help each other live fully.
Sure is.
I want to add too that you can read my book. There's a lot of information in there. And my website is my name, Patricia Eagle. And it is like the bird. That story about my name is in my book too. But you can send me a message from my website, and then I'll respond to you, and you'll have my email. And I can put you on a newsletter I have. But read my book. It's available at all traditional places. You know, Amazon, Indie Books, Barnes & Noble. But mine is one of many, many stories out there. But what I've heard from people is that they felt it was hard. It was a hard read, but the whole book's not hard. I mean, small portion of it is sexual abuse. More of it's my own abuse to myself. But then how I learned to overcome that and to be healthy. Do that. It is worth it. Become healthy.
Pat, thank you. Very powerful. Thank you for sharing your story, your advice, and how much you want to shed light and help and bring hope. I hope everybody does read your book. I will. PatriciaEagle.com is your website, and they can find you there and email you. And just thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for doing what you're doing. May it continue.
Thank you. And thank you to all of you for tuning in, for showing up, for sharing, and for helping to grow the Women Worldwide Network. You know what I always say, friends, until our next episode, be safe, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.